Join me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, please, verse 21. Matthew's Gospel, verse 21 of chapter 15. Hear the holy, inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went on to the region of Magadan. Pray the Lord would add his blessings to the reading of his word. Verse 28, once again, "O woman, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire." O woman, great is your faith. Matthew Henry writes, "Faith honors Christ most. Therefore, of all of the graces, Christ honors faith most." Faith. It is the hallmark of Christianity. It is by faith that we have been saved from a devil's hell. It is by faith that we have been saved to an eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith that we walk daily, living the lives our Lord Jesus has given us to live. And it is by faith that we trust our Lord Jesus for our daily bread, just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, by faith. Hebrew 11 tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith. It is the assurance of things hoped for. We see this in the Canaanite woman, whose daughter is possessed, ill. She was assured, even being from a pagan, non-Jewish culture, she was assured that Jesus would, in fact, heal her daughter. Great faith. The writer of the Hebrews says faith is also the conviction of things not seen. Once again, we see this in this lady from a pagan culture. She did not know a great deal about Jesus Christ. She probably did not understand him being God and man. She probably did not understand his role of being a prophet, a priest, and a king. She referred to him as Lord, but most commentators give us that she really didn't understand, it's perceived that she didn't understand his capacity of Lord. She just saw him as an important person, and in respect, referred to him as Lord. Yet with all of this unknown, with all of this not seen about Jesus Christ, she had the conviction in her faith that Jesus Christ would heal her daughter. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the assurance, the conviction of things not seen. Faith. It is the complete trust given to something or to someone. But please know, the effectiveness of faith, the value of faith, is only as good as the one in whom you have placed, or I have placed, faith. Have faith in and of itself is no good at all. We hear it said all the time, I have faith. It'll happen. Well, faith in what? I have faith. In what? I have faith. Well, sorry. Faith without an object is faith in self, really. But here in this Canaanite woman, we see the assurance, we see the conviction, we see her faith. It's not placed in anyone else, not in herself, not in the disciples, but it is placed in the one that can uphold and fulfill her faith, Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus commended her for in verse 28. O woman, great is your faith. Because she continued pleading, continued begging, and would not be quiet until she received the fruit of her faith. I would pray that these words, O woman, great is your faith. O gentleman, great is your faith. Dear one, great is your faith. We hope to hear that for all of us. All right, let's dig a little deeper into this. This is a very important time in Jesus' ministry. It's beginning to take a turn. In the previous part of chapter 15, we see this battle that he has had with the Pharisees. He's had these continued run-ins with the Pharisees. And so now he is moving out of Jerusalem and heading north into the Gentile regions. He's moving outside Jerusalem, outside Judea, Judah. And he's moving into the Gentile regions. Now, this is significant. Because just as he told the woman, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But yet he has moved outside of the house of Israel. And through this woman's persistent faith, he is now delivering the faith to the Gentiles. To a non-Jewish person. This is an early sign in Matthew's gospel of the fuller intentions of the Christian movement. It was first meant for the Jew, as we will cover here just in a few moments. But in the end, Christianity, our faith, is meant for all mankind. We are tolerant of all societies. Anyone can come to Jesus Christ. In reality, birthright has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and with Christianity. Join me in Galatians chapter 3, please. Birthright has nothing. Let me not go that far. The Jewish people still have a place, as Romans chapter 11 teaches us, but it is not their birthright that's going to save them. Galatians chapter 3 speaks of the lack of necessity of a birthright. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, please. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now, our Jewish brothers and sisters, if they're brothers and sisters, they'll understand. But the Jewish nation doesn't like to hear this. This Canaanite woman, this pagan, is as much a child of Abraham as Isaac was. Just as Isaac was a child of Abraham, so are you in your faith. If you have placed your faith, your trust, your assurance, your conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ, then just as Isaac spiritually sees Abraham as a father, so do you. That's the reason I've said, and you've heard me say it many times, the believer in Jesus Christ is more Jewish than the person who lives in Jerusalem, unless they are a believer. Let me point that out to you. Please go with me to Romans chapter 9. It is by faith, not by birth, that we are children of Abraham. It is by faith, not by birth, not by physical birth, that we are children of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 9, incredible, incredible piece of teaching. First 18 verses. Paul writes, I am speaking the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But, verse 6, but it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac, your offspring shall be named. This means that it is not the children of flesh or the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah has conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, true, they were not yet born and had done nothing either good nor bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, and as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Go with me to verse 30, please. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? That is, righteousness, that is, by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. But as if it were based on works, they have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. First of all, verses 6 through 8. It is not as though the word failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Verse 8, this means that it is not the children of flesh, but who are the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Not the children of flesh, not birthright, but the children of the promise. The promise is the covenant God made with Abraham, way back in Genesis chapter 13 through 17. This Canaanite woman we have in Matthew chapter 15, she was not born of Abraham. She's a non-Jew. But yet through this promise, the covenant made with Abraham, she is now a child of Abraham. She is a child of the promise. She was born again and made to be an offspring of Abraham. How? Verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. It is by faith that this Canaanite woman attained the promise. God named her, as we read in Ephesians, before the creation of created, that this woman would be a child of God outside the Jewish nation. And here we see the gospel going outside Jerusalem to this Canaanite woman, this pagan, who is now converted, who is now a child of Abraham. Why not the Israelites? Why not the Israelites? Paul answers that, verse 31. But that Israelite who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching the law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. And see, this is the great battle between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. They're arguing law. You must do, as we've been talking in Sunday school, duty, 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 keep the law. But where is your heart? This woman's heart was converted. She was gifted with faith. And it is by faith that she was assured, that she was convicted, that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And where did she find this faith? This pagan woman, where did she find it? How did she get this? It was not taught to her, I imagine. She did not, growing up, hearing all the stories of God as the Israelites have heard. Where do we find such faith? We all in this room should be very thankful for this Canaanite woman. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of the works." Remember, Paul said, God told Moses, "I will have mercy upon who I will have mercy." He also said, "I will harden whomever I will harden." Hard teaching, truthful teaching. The Reformed movement of the 15th and 16th century had a battle cry, if you will. It says, "It is by faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, that you were saved, that I am saved." This Canaanite woman was saved through faith. This Canaanite woman went to Jesus Christ seeking healing for her daughter, and she would not be denied, even after being called a dog, which in this culture was a defaming term. Now, I will say, this phrase here means little dog. So there might be some affection, as much as I... dogs. But he did refer to her as a dog. But yet that would not turn her away. She persisted. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the scraps falling from the master's table." She revealed so much about herself. She revealed so much about herself there. A, faith, but humility. She did not refrain from being called a dog. In her humility, she took her place and said, "Lord, even the dogs will eat from your table. The Gentiles, me, will eat from the master's table." It's her faith, her trust, her assurance, her conviction. She pursued Jesus Christ. This gift that was given her, she exerted that faith, came to Jesus Christ, and would not be denied. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done as you have desired. And her daughter was healed. I have entitled the sermon, "Abundant Faith, Abundant Provision." We have seen this abundant faith from this woman, a faith gifted to her by the Father, a faith delivered to her by the Holy Spirit, and a faith exercised as she came to Jesus Christ. And as Matthew cited earlier, Christ honors faith most. Trust. Trust. In our text, we see Jesus Christ honoring those who have faith with him, and he honored it with abundance. First, we see the abundance of this woman's healing. In Matthew chapter 15, if you want to head back there, we see the story of this woman coming to have her daughter healed who was severely oppressed by a demon. I'm not going to get into the demon thing right now. We'll hold that for another time. But she was blessed greatly. Jesus did not even go to the child, just spoke, and she was healed. Abundant care. Secondly, we see in verses 29 through 31, all of these who came up to the mountain, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, many others, and he healed them all. Now, we don't have a lot of detail here about these individuals, but just from inference of the text, the same level of faith is evident here in these people. They came to Jesus Christ for healing. They came assured that he was the one. They trusted. Great provision given to them from a good and compassionate God. Thirdly, Jesus feeds 4,000. Another story of feeding the 4,000. This is entirely different than the one feeding the 5,000. He said to them, I have great compassion. I have great compassion. Now here we don't see great testament of their faith, although they were following. Another miracle of feeding an extraordinary crowd. And again, more left over in the baskets than what they had to begin with. Abundance. 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 Great faith. Abundant provision. Faith is a gift from God. It is what redeems us. It is what saves us from our sins. But faith is also something we must exercise. As we talked in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, faith is both a noun and a verb. God takes care of the noun part. He gives you that gift. He brings it to you through the work of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith is gifted to you at that point of redemption, and you have faith. But that faith must be nurtured. That faith must be grown. And so now it turns into that verb. Just as this woman exercised her faith, we must exercise our faith. What did James write? Faith without works is a dead faith. Now, he wasn't arguing works leads to faith. He was arguing that faith is expressed through works, meaning you must exercise. Must exercise. The people of God have been given the greatest of gifts. The faith to believe and to know Jesus Christ, the faith to trust, the faith to assure, the faith to have conviction. So if you are a believer this morning, if you call on Jesus Christ as Lord, you've been given that faith. You've been given that gift. But do you use it? Do you trust? Do you have the conviction that Jesus Christ is all and for all? Are you assured in your faith? Now, when the sun is up, the day is going well, everybody's happy, then faith is easy. But when the clouds come, the horror meets you at the door, the tragedy befalls you, it looks like God is nowhere around, there is the time for faith to be expressed. At that time is when the trust can be relied on. It's when assurance will come and the peace that transcends all understanding in the most horrific times. And many of you in this room have experienced it. Faith. It's a noun. It's a gift. When you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, it was given to you. It was imputed to you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that faith. But it's also a verb. And that's our part, working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to exemplify a great faith. When people are ill and in the hospital, when people know that their loved ones are near that time, then one of my great prayers is that faith at this most challenging time will be expressed the greatest. Because it is at that time that the emotions are raw, the hearts are open, and your loved ones, they see that what you have professed or that the one has professed is actually true. You know, it's easy to say, I love you. It's easy to say, I have faith. But until love is expressed, it's not a true love. Until faith is expressed, now I can't say it's not a true faith because that's God's part. But is it mature? This Canaanite woman, she's not only a great example, but she is also a testimony to the beauty of a faith that trusted Jesus Christ, was assured in Jesus Christ, was convicted that her daughter would be healed. I pray that we know, experience that level of faith. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God the Father, first of all, thank you for decreeing that we would be gifted the faith through the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross, that we may indeed live in the shadow of the cross in great faith. Let us have the assurance and the trust and the conviction to experience and to express our faith. In Jesus' holy name, amen.